What's going on, football fans? It's me, Jarrell Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL, joined as always by my two co-hosts, Jonathan Holder and Toby D. Toby, what's going on, brother?
Man, it's game week. Time to game plan. Starting tomorrow, the game plan will start to be implemented. Getting ready for first and second down, and then third and fourth down, and all that goal line stuff. So I'm ready.
All that good. Yep. Jonathan, what's up, bro?
Man. It's been a long, long time. It just feels like forever since the season ended. So, yeah, it's good. It's good to be back in game week.
That it is. It is. It does feel like it's been forever. I joked around. I said, "All right, well," I said, "my 6 months hiatus of anxiety has now ended. So now it's going to get back in full swing. every Sunday to Thursday, you know, to whatever. And just so everybody knows, if y'all see me looking down, I am apparently in a draft for a fantasy league. Everybody else has nothing else going on a Tuesday. I got things going on a Tuesday. So, but just to let everybody know, all's right in the world. I just drafted Desmond Ridder. So,
yes.
Now the team name makes sense with Ridder Me This. So
yes, I was gonna say, I mean, it'd be, what's your team name? Ridder Me This. Who's your starting quarterback? Kirk Cousins. What about Kirk backup? Cousins. Marcus Mariota.
Oh my goodness, don't mention
him. No, heck no, don't do it. Anyway, well, we got a handful of things to get into, so I guess without further ado, we might as well just go ahead and get into it. So, as we've stated, it is game week, and today the official depth chart came out. I know it has everybody pumped and super excited to have the depth chart, right? But the reason why, like, I wanted to talk about it, there's two things that I wanted to talk about. Is did anybody else catch the listing of Cordell Patterson?
Yep.
I did not, unfortunately, because I did not get to check it.
No, it's all good. I'm glad that you didn't. So what would you think a listing of Jay? Have you ever seen Jay on a depth chart before? Because I haven't.
Nope.
Especially not a professional. Like the pros, I have never seen a Jay before. So what's your best guess, Toby, on what a Jay is?
I would probably be cheating because we talked before I got here. So I don't know if I want to say it or not.
No, all right. But before we talked about it, what was your best guess?
I mean, of course, it'd have been a joker because you could use him as a all around player on the field, wide receiver, kickoff returner, and you can use him as a running back, of course.
That's what I went to was joker. I've always seen that be on the defensive side of the ball. Generally talking about, you know, like a linebacker or a hybrid type, you know, whether it's a linebacker safety or, you know, something of that nature. Let's see, hold up. Gavin, appreciate
you. Gavin.
Well, thank you for that. Willie Doc has a guess. He says jump shooter. Yeah. That could be.
I mean, Arthur Smith doing some creative things with the offense.
Organic says, does J mean juggernaut?
Hey,
like the Marvel universe, possibly.
Jack of all trades.
YMOF Jamal says Jack of all trades. And yeah. I think it's very much like a J for Joker, I think is what more than likely what they're going for there. Brief second, our good buddy Charleston Nash says, what's up? Can you say what's up to my twin Hamilton? What's going on to
Hamilton?
What's up, brother? I'm glad y'all are both in here with us.
Twin.
That's right. That's right. We like that. The other thing that I thought was interesting as far as the depth chart is concerned or was concerned is that Tyler Algier was listed as the number one running back. He was listed as the first back. And I thought that, you know, with all the crap that we heard all preseason about every time one of the unofficial depth charts came out and it had Tyler Algier listed as the third running back, like the Florios and everybody else would make such a big deal and be, you know, be snarky about it.
I think you mean Robinson.
No, I'm talking about like Mike Florio.
No. You're talking about Bijan.
What did I say?
You said Tyler Allgeier.
Oh, good Lord. Good job, Jay. This is what happens when I start multitasking. And I'm over here trying to keep an eye on a freaking draft. And anyway, Fred, we appreciate that.
Appreciate it, Mr. Butts.
He throws out our first prediction. He says the Falcons are going to win 35-10 on Sunday.
35-10. Let's go, baby.
Robinson was listed, first on the depth chart as like throughout all the preseason, he was listed third. And every time one of those unofficial, charts came out, you had the, like I said, the Mike Florios and everybody else making a big daggum deal. Some of our beloved Falcon content creators, some of them making a big deal that, that he was listed as third overall. So what's your take on that, Toby?
It's kind of interesting because that would be a first with having them guys, be at number one like that. Because I remember when Kyle Pitts, we drafted him fourth overall, and he wasn't even first on the depth chart going into the first week against the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's quite interesting. That goes to tell you what they want to do with this scheme right off the rip, in my opinion.
Well, it also speaks to his preparedness, right?
Yes, that too. Yep.
So like he could have all the splash plays and everything, but if he's not prepared in the running back room, if he's not prepared, out in the practice areas and things like that, like that preparation, the all the back end stuff that we don't always see, that squared away. Because otherwise, if he didn't, then he probably would still be listed as the backup, regardless of what his snap count ends up being. He would probably be listed as a backup. The fact that he's listed as the RB1, then that lets you know that not only is he showing out on the field, he's showing out in the meeting rooms,
right?
In the practice rooms and practice fields and all that stuff.
No, I agree. And then talking about not wanting to, not wanting to just anoint somebody right away, even though we all know that's kind of where it's going to end up being. It's kind of like the Patriots with giving some rookie number, like some obscure number, like 52. And then before the season starts, they get their real number, kind of deal. And I feel like that's kind of like the way it was. But okay, now that's done. I feel all right. I ain't gonna be like distracted by that no more. Good Lord. That was a little annoying. Anyway. So another thing that struck me is, Austin Douglas is bringing it up here. He says, they're saying Jeff Okuda is going to play on Sunday versus. I have not seen that. He's still listed as the, second cornerback or, opposite of AJ Terrell. But Trey Flowers is the first immediate backup. Yeah. So I want to see what the injury report looks like when it comes out tomorrow. To my understanding, though, wasn't he one of the ones that practiced? Because yesterday, the people who were missing out of practice, I don't think his name was one of them, was it?
It was Kadero Hodge, Cordero Patterson, and
Jeff Okuda, one other. If I'm not mistaken.
Was it Okuda?
Now, if it was Okuda.
Yeah, I think it was Jeff Okuda.
They said
Mike Hughes was back, though.
Yeah, Mike Hughes is back. And I was going to say, if it was Jeff Okuda, practicing yesterday or missed yesterday, it's going to be hard for me to believe that he's going to be practicing or going to be playing. I'm trying to see if I can't get that tweet pulled up. T.A. Big says Okuda is listed as questionable. And I don't think he plays Sunday. That's just my guess as of right now. Let's see. I don't see it. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time digging in on it.
I mean, why are we going over this? We know Pitts is going to get traded to KC because Kelsey got his knee hyperextended. Come on. It's all over Twitter, man. It's all over Twitter.
I have not seen that one. Holy crap. That would be – oh, that would – okay, yeah. No, that ain't happening.
No.
No, that ain't happening. That ain't happening at all. Let's see. Okay. Marcus says, what's your honest opinion on how the Falcons will perform? I think Ritter has an unbelievable game and that the offense gets rolling. What's our thoughts? Based off of what we saw, I think the offense is going to be able to move the ball. Now, you know, get into that red zone. Can they convert? That's going to be an interesting question that we're going to have to ask. But I think all in all, home game, the one they've been preparing for, you're not going up against a very talented roster. Not like you did a couple years ago or, you know, 2 years ago with Philly and last year with the Saints. You're not going up against a, you know, very much more talented than you are.
Right.
Like, we feel like we're on the more talented side as far as just how the roster stacks up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that being said, well, go ahead, John.
Well, I was just saying, I feel like if what we saw of the Carolina Panthers offensive line throughout the preseason, right? If what we saw from them and what we saw from the defense, starting defense, if those two things play out, I don't think their offense is going to be able to do much. And they're, I don't, you know, how much they're going to be able to protect Bryce Young.
That's going to be the thing.
I mean, that's the thing. So if Okudah doesn't play, then the onus falls onto the defensive line has got to get penetration. They've got to get back there. They've got to make him move off his spot. They can't let him sit back there. And if don't let him sit back there, then he's not going to, you know, he's going to make some plays on you. But I don't think he's going to be able to consistently do that.
Right. One of the things that if I'm a Carolina fan that I would be concerned about is you're starting a rookie. I think he was a rookie full-time left guard on the right side. I think it was right tackle maybe. Which we have our own deal with Bergeron, you know, so you could say the same deal there. They did seem to have a tougher time protecting Bryce Young, than our starting offensive line, the one series that we got to see. Brian Burns, MJ says, you know, will Brian Burns play? That would be huge.
Yeah.
That's something that he's hit them with this week, you know, the deal of, you know, kind of not being super happy with his contract. So it's going to be very interesting to see. But there was a historic stat that I saw that we know the Falcons are great at being on the wrong side of a historic stat. rookie first round QBs in their first ever start is like, for like the past decade are like 0-13-1.
Yep.
So that just bodes real well that, that we're going to be on the wrong side of another historic stat.
Yeah.
I read that today and I was like, oh, come on. Why do we have to have that going against us?
Yep. I didn't like seeing that. I'm like, gonna be the one, aren't we?
Okay. I hope not, man. I hope we don't fall to a rookie QB. But I mean, Bryce Young is a very slippery type of player, and he made a lot of plays on the move when it looked like he was going to get them. He was like slick oil and he was getting out of it. Now I'm just curious if he's going to be able to do that this first game of the week, because he doesn't really have a good serious rapport with his receivers yet to do that like he did with Jameson Williams and, Michi. So I don't know if he's going to be able to do that just yet with Adam Thielen
and DJ and Chark and right.
And DJ Chark could be a possible no show in this game too because he had an injury.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Fred Bunce with another $5. We appreciate. He says, I think Bryce will have a long day with our defense. This ain't Bama. He's too small. He had trouble with big defenses in college. We're going to see. Like, there's – I mean, he didn't get taken one overall for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I that's the part that I keep thinking about. When there was an easy reason not to take him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could easily look at his size and say, nope, that's not what we're doing. At first overall, they still took him. So we're going to see. Here's something I want to bring up. I want to see if I can do this here real quick. I'm going to bring this over here. And we're going to do like that. And then, all right, I'm going to share the screen again. Here we go. Ready?
Go.
Nope, not that one. This one. Bam. Okay. I want y'all to take a look at this since we're talking about depth chart. This was 2021. Okay. Defensive line, Grady Jarrett, Tyler Davidson, Jonathan Bullard, Jacob Tutu Mariner, Deion Jones, Foye Oluokun, Steven Means, AJ Terrell, Eric Harris, Daron Harmon, and Fabian Monroe.
Yep.
Dude, we've come a long way.
Boy, yes. What you talking about?
I mean, there's only two guys on that. There's only two guys on there that that we still have. Right. There's only one other guy on here that I kind of wish we still had, and that's Oluokun.
Yeah, about that Foye.
Yeah, Foye. Yeah. I would like to still have him, but past that, everybody else is like at best rotational depth pieces.
I don't even know if they would crack the rotation of what we have currently right now.
No.
Boy.
And that part is like, I saw that earlier today and I was like, man, that's kind of that's a long way.
Yeah, man. A lot of them are rotating on the couch.
Bernard says, that defensive roster was bad.
Woo!
Yeah. Like, and man. The thing is, when they cut Jacob Tutu Mariner that year, he was leading the defense in sacks. Think about that. When they cut him that year, when they cut JTM, he was leading the team in sacks. That's how bad that was.
Wow.
Yeah.
And like I look at that and go, what was Dean Spees supposed to do?
Right.
You know?
So it's either this was like literally all we had and DMP's just had to make do. Or these, you know, the other side of that coin is DMP's chose these guys out of a pool of you know, guys or whatever. So, you know, either way, it's just not a good,
No, it was.
No.
And it wasn't much better last year either. Like, to be completely honest, it wasn't a ton better last year. As far as
the only bright side last year from the defense was later in the year, I will say this, later in the year, that defense started playing better.
Yeah.
They started like holding guys to like less than, you know, 21 points and less quite a few times in that last, third of the season or so. We just couldn't get anything going offensively.
Right. Oh, here you go.
But,
to interrupt your diatribe one more time. We have an answer. That's Cordell Patterson's new profile picture.
Nice.
So now we don't know what the it is confirmed what the J on that depth chart is. So sorry. Just saw that and I thought that was too good to pass up. But all right, so as we keep on keeping on, another Twitter controversy for everybody to point and laugh at. The captains were announced. Six captains. It was Grady Jarrett,
of course.
Jesse Bates,
yeah,
Chris Lindstrom, Who was the other one? Chris Lindstrom.
Jake Matthews.
Jake Matthews. I was like, mm-hmm. I knew there was another offensive lineman. Was Youngway Koo one? I'm trying to remember. Hold on. I'm gonna scroll down. Hold on. I'm gonna get to it. Captains, here it is. Bam. Bam. Let's see. All right. So it was Grady Jarrett, Jesse Bates, Youngway Koo, Jake Matthews, Chris Lindstrom were all named permanent captains.
Yeah.
And they will sport the C. So obviously there's a glaring name for most people missing off of that list. Is that a problem for y'all? The fact that Desmond Ridder was not named a captain in his first year as the full-time starter. Is that a big deal for you? Toby, what do you think? Is that a big deal for you?
That's a no, because you gotta earn it. Just because you are the starting quarterback doesn't deem you the right to just automatically become a captain of a team. He hasn't done anything yet to show other than the four games he played to show that he has earned the right to be a captain yet. Now, when he goes out there and shows that he can be a captain, then 2024, he will get that C on his shoulder or wherever they're going to put it, and he will be the captain.
Right.
No, and that should make him hungry enough to earn that title for next year.
Jonathan, what's your thoughts on
that? I mean, it's not a situation where I'm like, you know, freaking out because, oh my God, our starting quarterback is not a captain on the team. It's like, it is what it is. And like you said, got to earn it. Part of earning that is getting out there and performing on the field. Like if you notice, right, every single one of these guys are guys that have not only likely been really good guys in the locker room,
mm-hmm,
okay, but they're also guys that have gone out on the field and they've produced, whether it's Grady Jarrett, Bates, Matthews, Lindstrom, Koo, doesn't matter. All those guys have gone out there and performed and produced on the field. The likely situation is that, you know, like you said, if Ridder comes out this year, maybe, you know, he doesn't even necessarily have to ball out, you know, and be super crazy good this year. But if he comes out, plays his game, you know, keeps us in games, helps us win some, doesn't lose us any or very few games, mm-hmm, you know, if he's on the right side of that through this year, then yeah, I, you know, next year I would expect him, you know, potentially to be a captain. Now, if he's not next year, is that a little worrisome? Maybe. But again, it all depends on like how things go. I mean, if we go through and win the Super Bowl and we just end up with the same captains that we end up with this year, I'm gonna be like, I'm totally cool with that. Keep everything as much as you can the same and do the same thing. But at the end of the day, it doesn't bother me like that he's not a captain this year. It's for all intents and purposes, he's still essentially a rookie. And there's no like if he wasn't there but Bijan was, then maybe, but everybody here is a vet. Like nobody here is second year guys. So
King Seven says also those guys are either great or vets or great vets.
They've been to the Pro Bowl at least once.
Right. And here's the deal. a gentleman on Twitter named, I don't know if any of y'all follow him. His name's Andy Gallagher. He's sometimes a content creator, sometimes not. But he put out an interesting tweet a couple hours back that I was like, all right, I need to make sure I bring this up. Ben Roethlisberger didn't get captain until year 5. Cam Newton didn't get it until year 3. Tua Tagovailoa didn't until year 3. Jared Goff didn't until year 3. So, and these are all guys who've had varying levels of success, you know, from the QB position. And I thought that was interesting especially about, you know, Roethlisberger and Cam Newton, you know, guys that are beloved by their franchises, beloved by their fan bases, you know, beloved by, you know, the NFL at large, really. And neither one of those guys didn't get captain until, you know, later on in their career. So I myself didn't bother me one way or the other, but I think I'm with Bubba Gump over here. He says fans would complain if they had named him captain, saying he hasn't done anything. Always like say that, always complain about something. And I definitely feel like that is the case with our fan base, but I also feel like that is the case with our fan base more this year than it has been.
Yeah.
It seems like it doesn't matter what transpires. There is a loud section of the fan base that is going to complain one way or the other, right?
Yeah.
MJ.
It never fails.
Right. MJ's got a great point. He says, if Calais Campbell isn't a captain, then people need to relax about a 24-year-old QB. His teammates preach about his leadership. He's fine.
Yeah.
That is a quality that was brought up quite a bit over the summer when asked by reporters, you know, when his teammates were asked about him and what were some of his traits that you know stood out. Almost all of them to a T said his leadership.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think it'd be coming sooner rather than later, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like there's probably 10 guys right now on this team, maybe even more than that, but at least 10 guys right now that you could probably say, like, I could absolutely see them being captain. You're not going to have 10 captains. You're going to have, you know, probably at max, maxes out at like 5, maybe some teams have got 6, but most teams are going to have 4 or 5, team captains, and you're not going to have, you know, the 10 guys or however many on a team that probably deserve to be, but you know, so it is what it is.
Here's the key that I don't know. Tell me if y'all picked up on. You can laugh. Like, as I've gotten older, I really start to like hone in, whether it's been doing this for too long, been like studying my Bible for too much. I don't know, but it is to a point now where I really hang on words, like what words you choose to use, whether it's especially like a PR that like comb over this stuff before they release these things out into the wild. And one of the things that I picked up on was permanent captains. So these guys are permanent captains for the year. It would not surprise me one bit is if for the first game or the second game that Ritter's named a captain for that game or is sent out for the coin toss.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I didn't know if I was reading too much into that or if I just like I said, that word permanent, like kind of perked my, you know, pricked my ear a little bit there.
Yeah. I could see where you're coming from on that. And maybe that's the case, but again, whether he's a game time captain out there for the coin toss or not, you know, is not a big deal. Again, like you said, it's another bullet point for that section of the fan base that just wants to find something
to go on
to criticize.
Right.
And look, I'm not against criticism of the team. You know, I'm not against criticism of Ritter or Arthur Smith or Blank or anybody else. Okay.
Yeah.
Criticize them all you want, but like, if you're going to do it for something that matters, right?
Right.
Don't do it for the stupid stuff, because then you just ends up in a boy who cried wolf kind of situation where, like, eventually people just filter you out because and don't pay attention to anything you say, because you're just saying, they just know that, oh, this new thing happened, so you have to be Nancy in the room.
There's some people that if I see their name pop up on Twitter, I just immediately roll my eyes. Like, yeah. Fred with another $5, which we appreciate. Hey, Fred.
Appreciate it, Fred.
He says, yeah, he is lighting it up. He says, how is Bates a captain over Ritter? He wasn't on our team last year. Ritter deserves to be a captain. I'm going to let King 7 answer this one because I think he answered it greatly. Fred, you're talking about the best safety in the, you know, in the league. Arguably, I mean, come on. That's the deal. It's not just that he's the best safety, but also he was your prize free agent.
Yeah. Like, he was.
He was the one that you doled out a ton of money to.
Yep.
And, like, he was probably throughout all of, you know, training camp and OTAs and everything else, Like, he was probably the one getting his praises sung by the coaching staff, I would bet.
Yeah.
I hope y'all seem to enjoy the offensive video that we did last Friday. I hope y'all tune in for the defensive video that we're going to put out this week, or, you know, this is probably either Friday or Saturday, and you'll hear more of a reason why Jesse Bates was named captain, because he's going to get some work.
If
you were going to say it about anybody on that list, let's see. Where'd it go? I just had it. There it is. If you were going to say it about anybody on that list, I don't even know who else you would say it about, but like, Jesse Bates is a guy that you bring him in and you pay him that money, and you want him to, you know, he is expected to be a leader in your clubhouse. And so far he's shown that. So, and again, you got to remember, this is also as far as I know, this is not a coach given thing. This is not something the coaches dole out. This is something that the players
tend to vote on
themselves. Yeah. So if that's the case, then this is not Arthur Smith, you know, or whoever giving him the C on his jersey just because he was a high priced free agent. This is him coming in, getting the respect of the locker room, you know, showing that leadership and having the team basically say, like, we want this guy as one of our captains.
Yeah.
Hamilton Nash, the twin of Charleston Nash from earlier.
Yes, sir. What up, Hamilton?
He said, this is Hamilton. Well, how good. I'm glad, Hamilton. How are
Hamilton.
You? He said, I would like to hear y'all's opinions on this year's, you know, Desmond Ridder and his weapons and potential. Also, if he works out, what is the next few moves for years to come? All right. I think Ridder is in a good position this year to at least showcase whether he can be the guy or not, because you have spent the last three drafts on your first overall picks being offensive weapons, Pitts, London, and Robinson. There should not be your typical starting quarterback, like your first rookie quarterback problems, like what you see in Carolina and possibly in Houston, as to where these guys don't have any real like game breaker type weapons to throw to. With Bryce, you're talking about what? Adam Thielen, a guy who's definitely on the backside of his career. DJ Chark, again, a guy on the backside of his career. And it's really about it. You know, you got Chuba Hubbard as your running back, you know, so, and then out there with CJ, you're looking at Nico Collins, and it's about all I can really come up with for the Texans.
I mean, they had a big acquisition running back in Miles Sanders that they got from Philadelphia Eagles because the Eagles let him run off into free agency. So that he's got explosive speed.
Didn't they draft a wide receiver?
I think they did. I know Jonathan Mingo. That was second round.
No. The Texans.
Oh.
Yeah, the Texans did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They may have. I don't know. But anyway, back to Ridder and his weapons here. I think, you know, and y'all can, you know, correct me if I'm wrong or like expand on it, but I think Ridder is in, he's given every opportunity to succeed. And if he ends up succeeding, then you've solved your issue at, you know, quarterback.
Yeah.
And your next few moves for years to come might be, you know, Jared Verse from FSU next year, you know, in the draft, or potentially if Brian Burns doesn't, you know, get the contract he's wanting, maybe you make a play for him. So that's what I would do. Toby, what do you think on the situation?
Man, I think Ridder is going to be perfectly fine. I think he's going to do well. Do I think he's going to just absolutely light it up? I don't know yet. I just have to see. But I think he's set up to light it up, you know, and the weapons that he has, they put some great weapons around him. They know what he can do. They give him tall receivers because they know he struggles with accuracy sometimes. So having those tall receivers that he's had when he was in college that can make those plays for him and make him look good. And like I said, I believe that he's going to be as successful as this running back group is that he has, because I think they're going to be a great safety blanket for him. And I think the scheme is going to be built around what these running backs can do. And that's going to lead to everyone else's success because of that. So if that is the case, what I'm seeing with these running backs, I think he's going to be fine. And he's going to make a lot of hay in this season. So I think he's going to be great because of the weapons that he has, especially the running back group that's provided. And I know we're going to talk about that in at some point. Yep. If CP84 is as healthy as he needs to be to play for most of the season.
Jonathan, what's so say Ridder pans out and the weapons pan out, what's your like top priority next year?
Keep building your defense, man. Keep building your defense. I think you're going to be all right with the safety group with Richie Grant and Jesse Bates. I think you'll have them at least 5 years here starting together. But I think you need to keep building that front defensive line, that first. Build that defensive line, keep building it up on the defense. So if I'm the Falcons in 2024 draft, I'm going defensive line with that first pick, wherever it is that we're picking at. Because you went offense for 3 years now, so it's time to change that up.
Jonathan, I agree, Toby. Jonathan, what's your thoughts?
So, I think if we look at the question, I don't necessarily think that the Falcons have built the team up around Ridder. I think what they've done is they've built a team.
Yes.
They built a team with weapons, with, what they believe to be, a better defense. Their offensive line looks to be progressing, so we'll see how it goes this year. But as far as the weapons go, you've put those weapons in place so that a quarterback, and right now this quarterback is Ridder, if they can come in and do the job, then they should be able to have success. Now, if we get through the end of the season, Ridder has not done the job properly. The good thing is that you're not bringing – it's not like, how many years that, you draft a guy like, for example, the Texans, they draft Carr as an expansion team. They didn't have anything around him. Right. They had nothing around him. And, which is understandable for an expansion team. But – That's not a recipe for success, no matter who you are, whether you're, I can't remember his first name, but Carr's older brother, Derek Carr's older brother,
David Carr.
He's just in a no-win scenario, but whether that was him or it was just about anybody else in the NFL who's behind that offensive line with those weapons, you're probably not going to be successful. So what they've done is they've gone and they've built the team so that they presumably, if Ridder doesn't make it, you drop a guy in. Now, if he does make it, right, he comes out, plays well this season. We're not talking MVP or anything, but the guy comes out, plays really well, maybe gets you to the playoffs, maybe a division, whatever. In that scenario, I'm fully behind, depending on – I guess it really depends on what goes on during the season with the defense, but – like, Calais Campbell's not going to be here forever. He might be here one more year.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe. then you got Gray Jarrett. He's going to be here. David Onyemata, he's going to be here. But then you got guys like Bud Dupree. Does Bud Dupree go back to, Steelers Bud Dupree? If he goes back to Steelers Bud Dupree, then that's cool. But then, what does Arnold Ebiketie do? Does he ascend this year? If he ascends, it shows us that he's getting further along in his progression, then that's cool. But if not, then I think next year you start to look at, okay, who are the big pass rushers, whether that's a Brian Burns or whoever else, and you got to get you need to have, or I would really like to have, even if it's just the one, I would really like to have a dominant, like when you saw TJ Watt going against the twos, like it was no joke, like not even a contest. And I want a guy like that.
Right.
Whether that comes from the draft where that comes from. Free agency.
That's we ain't had that guy since John Abraham.
Yep. Right. Mr. Abraham was the last one.
All right, Willie Doc with a $5 tip, which we appreciate greatly.
Man, Willie.
Willie says he's kicking it old school. He says, can y'all give an on-the-fly Falcon eye view? That is old school, bro. On the defensive approach to Carolina that Nielsen will implement. On-the-fly Falcon eye view that he would implement, in my opinion, is – you know, play some, like, do the, you know, the two high safeties. Try to keep it in front of you. Try to keep, you know, Bryce Young's throws at the short to intermediate where you can rally to the ball. We did have a very high blitz rate in the preseason, which was something we were going to get into on Friday/Saturday, whenever that comes out. But I would imagine that, you know, with it being a rookie, his first start in the NFL, like, yes, he's cool, calm, and collective, but I'd blitz the piss out of him if it was me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like send him everything that he ain't seen. You know, with the sim pressures or, you know, the post, I would definitely try for, like, if I'm Jerry Gray, I want to do, like, you know, the post snap rotations. With my back end, you know, show him a two high shell and then, you know, post snap, bring one safety in, you know, give him a middle field open look to begin with, then rotate into a middle field close. Just do what you can to try to confuse him. That's what I would try to do. Jonathan?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Like, I want to see pressure packages. I want to see, you know, multiple, like, 6 and 7 man, like, up on the line of scrimmage guys. Not all of them are going to come, but you'll get 6 or 7 guys, figure out and have him try to figure out who's coming from where, try to set his protection. And maybe even, you know, like you said, definitely want to do the post, you know, post snap transformation of the defense from one thing to another. Yep. You know, you don't see that in college a lot. You can simulate it as much as you want in practice, and you may see some of it in preseason, but you still don't have a ton of reps against it. You don't, you know, just being able to recognize it is not going to be as easy now as it will be later in the year versus next year and so forth. So the time to do that stuff is now. And if you can do that while you're also blitzing and getting home, that's the, like, however many times we blitz doesn't really matter. It matters that when we blitz, it's impactful.
Right.
Right.
It causes an impression, leaves an impression, whether it's a sack or what have you, you know, batted passes, things like that.
I'm not saying he'll be like this, but, like, I remember so many times watching us play the Panthers when Cam Newton was the quarterback. I could tell you probably by the end of the first quarter, usually no later than like halfway through the second quarter, how that game was probably going to go. Because if we blitzed or just got to Cam Newton and hit him multiple times early in a game, his accuracy was going to go, you know, was going to go to crap. And he was going to start throwing off his back foot. He was going to start seeing ghosts and all those things. Now, do I think Bryce Young is going to have that particular problem? Who knows? But I'm going to test him out and see.
Oh yeah. Toby, what's your game plan?
I'm going A gap blitzes all day long, and I'm going to flush him out of there, because with the guys you got up front, Anya Mata and Grady Jarrett and Calais Campbell, they're going to give you that ability to be able to A gap blitz. I mean, Caden Ellis, and I'm expecting Caden Ellis, Landman, and Troy Anderson, because of that, to have a great day with them A-gap blitzes, because I think that's exactly what they're going to do. And if they do flush him out, he won't have a chance to make a throw, because we'll have somebody like a Calais Campbell over there, or Lorenzo Carter, or Bud Dupree, that's right there to clean up the mess when he's trying to scramble out and cause him to make throws that aren't going to be successful against guys like Jesse Bates that will be out there waiting on him. So right. I'm looking for those A-gap blitzes to be called early and often as much as they can with the linebackers they got out there in Troy and Kate Nellis.
Yeah, I think MJ was kind of agreeing with you. He says, have Troy Anderson on a QB spy. And he said, you know, and I kind of use that as like that green dog go. You know, if their guy don't go, then they take off kind of deal. He said that speed matches up perfectly if Bryce tries to scramble. Man up everybody and let that D-line eat. I think you're going to see a good bit of man coverage, I believe. And I think with we touched on the receiving core that they have. I think AJ and, whether it's Jeff Okuda, which I really feel like it's going to be Trey Flowers, I think they're going to be able to handle that. So we'll see how that shapes up. Another question from Three Dirty. He says, other than a win, what does Ritter need to do to at least have this panel, being us, to be optimistic for week two? I thought it was a good question because maybe we're coming off a little more reserved. I know generally this offseason, us three have been in more of a wait and see type mode, especially when it comes to Ritter. So, Jonathan, what does he have to do to have you in here next week going, all right, done deal, we're good, we're good, we're golden, you know? Like, have you being optimistic? What does Ritter have to do for you?
I mean, I could say he's got to throw for 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 350 yards, all that stuff. What I want to see out of him is really no matter what happens in the game, you know, no matter the outcome of the game, right? I want to see him getting the ball out on time as much as possible. I want to see him I would like to see some maybe a little bit better accuracy. I don't expect him to be perfect every throw, but I would like to see a little bit better accuracy on some of his throws. I would like to see no turnovers. I mean, that is for sure something that I would like to not see. But also it's like it depends on what kind of turnover. If we're talking about he hits the guy, perfect throw in the hands, bounce, you know, the receiver drops it and it gets picked off by a guy, I'm not giving, that's not his fault.
Right. Okay? Yeah. He can't do much about that.
Yeah. So I want to see him making good decisions, and I want to see like him making good, you know, making plays when they're needed. Right. So the big third downs, big fourth downs, you know, whatever, those situations where, you know, a play has to be made. That's what, you know, if he can do, even if he, you know, doesn't do a whole lot first and second down, but then come third down, he's like, I don't know, we're like 10 for 15 or something like that, you know, on third downs for the day, I will be happy with that. Yep. You know, so it's not the overall yardage. It's not the overall scores. It's not, you know, the one stat I will say is I don't want to see any interceptions if at all possible. I don't want to see any fumbles. I would just like to see clean play and make plays when they're needed.
Right. Toby, what has Ritter got to do to you to be – what has he got to do for you to be all, like, hyped coming here next Tuesday?
I need to see him recognize what's happening on the field, what the defense is doing, being able to spot the opportunities quickly, you know, with his reads and seeing who's open, where the mismatches are. I need to see that. I need to see how he handles his hot reads.
Right.
Because those will be important. They are going to come after you blitzing as well with that Broncos defense. Okay. Knowing a little bit about the guy over there on the defense side of the ball.
Alvaro.
So you're going to see some blitzes from these guys coming at you. So I need to see how he does. Last year, I started to see a sample of him handling hot reads pretty well. I want to see that carry over this year. If he comes in here and he's able to spot the mismatches and take advantage of what he's seeing with the guys that he has on that offense and handles his hot reads well, and they can come out with a win because of that, I'm going to be super excited because I got these boys going to the Super Bowl, so I really need to see him do this.
Hey. For me, I need to see what will have me excited. Is you go back and watch that one and only drive in the preseason. He was calm and in command the entire time. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to see. You've had a whole offseason as a starter, or as the starter. You've had, like, I truly believe when he came in last year for the last four games, I truly believe that they were still operating the Mariota offense because it was four games left. Let's just keep doing what we were doing. Well, now you've had a full season. Like, you've had a full offseason. We have seen that this coaching staff has reinvented the offense each year they've been here.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect them to do it again, to reinvent it again, to better focus on the group that they have this year.
Yeah.
Better focus on the quarterback that you have, his strengths, his weaknesses, these kind of things. And so what I want to see is my quarterback have that command,
right,
and be able to, like y'all have been talking about, make the right reads, look at the check downs. It's going to be death by a thousand cuts, with a lot of, short to intermediate, passes. That's what it's going to be. So, like, stat line wise, he'll probably be somewhere around 200-250 yards, unless he can get a couple dump offs to Bijan that go for a ridiculous amount of yards. But, that's what I expect. And we get that and a win, you'll have me singing a pretty good tune. Come next Tuesday. All right. Oh, keep right on rocking. Our boys,
I was going to say, go ahead.
He says, my guys, crazy late, but we're here. Right, we are glad you are here, my man.
Glad you're here, brother. Other thing I would like, Fred is like throwing me some shade here, saying that I am never positive. I mean, come on. I'm extremely positive, but I'm also realistic. Come on now.
All right. One of the last topics we kind of alluded to earlier, just now being able to get to it. And what's up, Millie Mills? Glad you decided to join us tonight.
Millie Mills.
All right. Should we be worried about CP84? I know we spent a little bit of time earlier in the show talking about the Joker designation on the chart, on the depth chart, him changing his profile picture, all that good stuff. But, he ain't practiced in, about 2-3 weeks, huh?
I think it was like after the first preseason game. He hasn't really done much since.
Yeah, because he wasn't on the field for any of the preseason at all. It's been soft tissue type or soft injury type stuff. And, with the practice report yesterday, he practiced yesterday. And we're going into game week. Like, what are the chances are we going to see CP84 on the field come Sunday?
Dunston, you want to go at it?
Do I think we're going to see him on Sunday?
Yeah.
I haven't looked to see if he was, out there at all, today. I know he was not out there yesterday.
I hadn't seen anybody report anything about today's practices.
Usually on Tuesdays, everybody's off. They come back on Wednesday, usually. Yeah.
I thought it was Monday and Tuesday they came.
Yeah.
No, it's
Tuesday is payday.
Right.
Now that's I knew an ex football player that played in the NFL, so he would always tell me about that. He would come in on Mondays and on Tuesday, usually it's their payday, they be off that day and then they come back to game plan for the week.
Yeah. So we'll see. I guess we'll see tomorrow, like you said. But I would say I'm gonna throw it to the call. I'd say no, probably not. You probably don't see him this week. Watch it come out tomorrow. It's like, oh, he's a full participant.
Ready to go. That's gonna be. I was gonna say that's gonna be my tell.
Friday.
Yeah, obviously
practice period.
Yeah, obviously my tell is going to be what does the injury report say tomorrow, but I'm really starting to get a little worried, because he hasn't practiced in about a month. So I will say I don't think he's going to be on the field this Sunday. I feel like at home against, you know, the Panthers, which we've talked about, they know they're not devoid of talent, but, you know, their defense is still pretty talented. But you're talking about a whole new regime, everything else. Like, they may feel a little bit more confident that Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson can handle, you know, the load per se. So yeah. I say if he's on the injury report at all tomorrow, I don't think he plays on Sunday. Toby, what do you think?
I'm concerned about him. I was concerned about him last year. I watched how he ran last year when he came back from the injury. And he was a little ginger running the football. Now, when he was catching it, he didn't seem as fearful. But right. When he was running it, you didn't see the burst that he had in 2021 and in the first few games before he went on that, you know, injury report and on IR. So I'm concerned about him just a little bit. And if he's going to be able to muster it full strength this season. And as far as him not practicing, I mean, the guy's not young anymore. So his workload, you know, they're probably trying to manage it and just to make sure if he can go, that he has a better chance of going. Right. Now, as far as offense goes, yeah, even though they didn't show a lot of stuff, I think he knows a lot of the offense. So whatever we are going to see with him and Desmond Ridder that we didn't see with Marcus Mariota, I think we'll be fine on that front too with him knowing all the plays in the playbook. So I'm not really worried about that, but I'm just concerned about how he's going to look when he gets the ball in his hands and he runs with it. Is he going to be somewhat on the, I don't want to say scared side, but just a little bit timid. A little
more ginger.
Yeah, like he was when he came back. So that's what I'm going to be looking at to see, is his burst fully there.
Yeah, especially on like on kickoffs. Like if he's out there, is he, you know, do they protect him by, I mean, because they still have him listed as the, you know, primary kickoff guy.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't talk about, but our boy D. Alford did win the punt return job. After that punt return to Miami, I don't think it was a question, but, you know, solidified that. And then he also won the nickel corner job, D. Alford did, which with the money that they paid Mike Hughes, he almost felt like that he was going to be, you know, a shoe-in no matter what, but he might have missed too much time.
Too much time.
They may not feel like he's, mm-hmm. you know, ready for that role just yet. So that's something to kind of keep an eye on.
Yeah.
King 7 says, CP84 is cool. I think Arthur's really taking it easy with his players. He takes no chance letting those guys push if they aren't 100%. That's been like his deal. Like, you know, Millie also says is like, you know, he'll be on the field. Smith just loves to protect his vets and from further injuries whenever he can, especially CP. I think, you know, that may have a lot to do with it. Like I said, I'm really interested to see what the injury designation should be. Like Millie also says, to be honest though, if he's not on the field Sunday, he said, I might start to think that the trade rumors are kind of true. I don't put much stock in the trade rumors. I don't know how many teams would be willing to give up anything that you would be willing to take for CP84 at this point, really.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And like I said, we'll know more tomorrow. But I think if there's any question, like even if it's just like, yeah, he probably can play, but it is what, you know, like, but if there's even just a little bit of a question in the back of coach's mind, probably not going to play him. Get him that one more week, let him get really back up to speed, and then get him out there for week two if he's really actually ready to go. I think that's probably what we'll see. I mean, we could be, like I said, we could be surprised tomorrow and he's full participant, ready to go, but you know, we'll see how it goes tomorrow. But right now, my thought is we're probably not going to see him till week two.
Yeah, I kind of think so as well. Because, well, we got – who we got week two? Crap.
Oh, no.
I got it right here. I got it right here. Green Bay. I was going to say, it's Green Bay. So, yeah, they may be wanting to rest him up for Green Bay. Who knows? all right. Kenderson says, what would be considered a successful good season for 23? I think we've answered that a handful of times. Successful is on the low end, a winning season. Yeah. Okay. That's, to me, that's the floor. Like if we turn in another 7-8 win season, I'm going to be a little disappointed. High end to me should be playoffs, whether that's NFC South, whether that's wild card. Yeah. I think to me, the range is winning season, playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like that, that's where I'm at.
Yes.
Toby, where I know where your high is. Where's your low, Toby?
10-7, at least make crack the 7th seed.
Okay. Yep.
But you know, my high, of course, is I had these boys going to Super Bowl. I actually think they can do it. I think they have the talent. I think they have the coaches now that can help them do it. And they have the players that can match the coaching styles and what the coaches want to do schematically to do it. So my low is 10-7, crack the 7th seed spot. If you don't win the NFC South, I'm not worried about that. Or you win the NFC South and you take your behind on to the Super Bowl and you win that thing. So that's my high.
Jonathan, where are you looking at?
I want to see a winning season. I know that is the bottom of the barrel for me. Now, does that mean that if we don't make it there, that I'm like, oh, fire everybody?
No. I'll be disappointed. I won't be fire everybody, but yes. I'll be starting to rev up the engine of fire everybody. But you know, that's end of the season talk.
Yeah, but absolutely. Like winning season is bottom of the barrel. I would like to see a 10 win floor is what I would like to see. And then, you know, maybe get it up to 11 or 12 wins and maybe take the division. That would be overachieving in my opinion. This year would be my thought.
MJ's got a good question here. He says, who will be some surprise inactive Sunday? Like last year, first game, Tyler Algier was the surprise inactive. So who you got for a surprise inactive on Sunday? I already got mine.
I have to look at the depth chart.
If y'all going to take that long, my surprise inactive is Scotty Miller. I think Scotty Miller might be inactive on Sunday. Who you got there, Toby?
Oh, my goodness.
I got another one, too, if y'all want to keep going with this.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. That's a tough one.
I got another one. Keith Smith.
On the roll. You're on the roll, but I don't think it's going to happen. But
I'll
tell you what, my surprise, and I know he just came back, I'm going to say Mike Hughes.
Okay.
I'm going to say, you know, he's been practicing. But, you know, they are expecting some things out of him, especially on special teams. I'm going to say Mike Hughes would be my surprise if he's not on the active roster on Sunday.
Jonathan?
I think if we're going wide receiver, I think Josh Ali would be more likely to be inactive.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be a surprise. The whole point is like, oh, wow, they made that guy inactive? Uncle Steve says Mycole Pruitt. Uncle Steve's lying.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go really crazy and be like, yeah, it's Kyle Pitts, inactive.
I got another one. I think that would be a surprise. Arnold Ebiketie.
Ooh, Ebiketie.
He's inactive. Yeah.
I don't see that one happen. But yeah,
I don't think this would be a surprise, but Keith No Sweat says Helms. Being inactive. I could see that happening.
John Fitzpatrick.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was going. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you only have the three tight ends. Like you don't have four like they've carried before. So if they sit him, then you only got Pitts and Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Fred Butts with another $2.
Fred Butts.
He's making it rain today.
Yeah, he is.
He says,
Mr. Butts.
How many touchdowns do y'all think Ritter will? I'm going to finish it out by saying have against Carolina. So, Jonathan, you're saying two?
I think
I say he throws one and runs one. I think so. I'll give him two as well. I think he throws a touchdown and he runs a touchdown in. Toby?
Okay. Ooh. I'm sorry. My mind just went blank just then.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
How many touchdowns do you think Ridder will have Sunday against the Panthers?
I'm saying two touchdowns. At least two touchdowns. That's two touchdowns, 200 yards. I think that's been something that's been hanging around in my mind. I think 200 yards, two touchdowns.
Okay.
Should suffice. I'm not looking for him to blow you out the water with 350 yards a game and stuff like that.
I'm looking for I'm looking for anywhere between 200 to 250 passing yards.
I think somewhere
and maybe like 30 to 40 rushing yards. Maybe.
I think
that'd be good.
The way I look at it is I'm looking at like, you know, 2 to 250 passing, you know, two touchdowns however they come, whether it's pass or run. 40, 50 yards rushing, but I think the completion percentage on those passes is hovering right around that 62 to 65% is kind of what I'm – that seems to be the stat line of a Arthur Smith-coached quarterback when they've had a solid game, you know, kind of deal.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm looking for, at least especially in the first game as Ridder starts to, you know, feel himself, so to speak, as the season goes on. Rick wants to know, how do you guys feel about Okuda being a Falcon and his ability to match AJ Terrell and stay healthy? Stay healthy is a big one. But if he can stay healthy, I do think he has the ability to be a very good complementary corner on the other side of AJ. They were both drafted high, you know, first round in the same draft. Okuda obviously was higher, but I think that he possesses the talent and the ability, and they believe in him. You've seen that from some of the clips of that, you know, Jerry Gray's talked about. Now he just has to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. Like, if he can stay healthy, he's looked good from what we've seen in practice and what have you. So
yeah.
I want to see him, you know, have success here. And I think he can, as long as he can stay on the field.
Yep. I tend to agree. did y'all see that Falcons worked out a handful of undrafted running backs today? That doesn't go well. I just saw this from Kevin Knight.
Wow.
Cameron Peoples, who was an interesting guy out of App State. And that's the only one I really recognize. The other names I don't necessarily recognize. So I wonder if they're gearing up for possibly not having a third, fourth back, you know what I'm saying? Like needing a back. Yeah. Let's see. King says, does Bijan make a big run of 20 or more yards with the Panthers? I think he busts one. Man, I don't know.
Yeah. The game against the Bengals in the preseason, like he almost broke one. Like he breaks that last tackle, he's gone for a touchdown.
Yeah.
I think especially if they get the Falcons can get the running game going early and have them bring up that extra safety so you have less of a backline defense. With his speed and agility, I think he can make it through to the third level. And then once he's there, I don't know if anybody's going to catch him.
Yeah, it's going to be a business decision to tackle him too.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Bijan, how many all-purpose yards will Bijan have in week one? That's from Mario.
Man.
So how many all-purpose yards? Do you think he breaks 100 in his first game as a rookie?
I say yes.
I'd give him 100 all-purpose yards.
Yeah.
All-purpose, I'd say yeah.
I mean, because I can easily see, you know, 40, 50 yards rushing and then with a couple dump-offs,
yeah,
you know, taking over somewhere between 100 and 120 all-purpose yards. I can see that.
Yeah.
Especially just off that one drive. I know we're basing so much off of, but there was so much to see off of one drive that was a vanilla drive.
It was like almost 20 plays.
Right. And like in that, you had, you know, a 12 yard run, a 7 yard run, a 15 yard pass, and had the Bengals not challenged the challenge that they lost, he'd have had a receiving touchdown of 15 plus yards. So, I mean, you're almost looking at 50 to 60 yards, you know, on that one drive between both pass and run. All right. I want to wrap this up.
I saw one here. Another PR. One of the more important questions.
Oh.
Do we go defense or offense for kickoff?
Oh, offense. Let's get the offense out there first. Set the tone.
Toby?
Like you got to.
Well, usually from what the Falcons have shown, when they won the toss, they would go defense first. So I'm thinking that if they win the toss, they're going to go defense, gets out there first and see what the defense can do to slow down Carolina so the offense can get out there and get going.
Bobby D. Blasting Game says 126 yard rushing and 23 catches. Screenshot. Ooh. You talking about for Bijan?
Good Lord.
He's the only one touching the ball in that scenario.
So it is. Shoot, more than quarterback. Shoot.
All right, we're gonna wrap this thing up with a slice of life type topic here. I just, as when the show started, I was doing a fantasy draft. So my question to y'all: who is your first fantasy football pick? You got the first pick in the draft in your fantasy league, Jonathan. Who you picking first? I want to hear it from the chat too now.
First overall pick.
Yep. Yeah, you got the first pick. Snake style draft, so you got the first and then, you know, the last or whatever, however that works out. So you get to your first pick. Who you got?
I'm going Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes. You're going with the QB first. Okay. All right.
Yep.
Toby, what you got? And then we're going to get into the chat and see what they got.
Because I've already done this, I would definitely do it again because this is my second year doing it. Ja'Marr Chase has to be my first guy taken off the board. He's been the most consistent the couple of years that he's been in the NFL, and I won't change that now. I was glad when my boss dropped him.
He in our Falcons Content Creator League, Ja'Marr Chase was the first pick for the 14 pound for pound. Have to keep y'all updated as the season goes on with that. Desgod says Desmond Ritter. That's brave.
That's very brave.
Now he's my backup because I had to make sure we got him because, like I stated earlier, my team name is Ritter Me This, so I had to make sure to get him. But he's on the list. Billy says Jetta's Ja'Marr. Justin Jefferson. Out there in Minnesota.
The biggest problem maybe with them is you add Jordan Addison. Maybe if he becomes more of a legit target, then that may cut into Jefferson's productivity a little bit.
Right. King says, LOL, Bijan. He was ranked number 8 in the draft that I did. Tabig says, Kyle
Pitts. I just couldn't see myself taking Bijan because I as a rookie, we know what we think we're gonna see. We just don't know what we know what we're gonna see yet.
Right. That's kind of my deal. It's like I have a tough time taking any rookie first overall.
Yep.
So you got Kyle Pitts. We got Chris says Joe Burrows.
He was on my mind. When I was thinking Mahomes, I was also thinking like Burrow because he's got Chase, but he's also got T. Higgins. But then again, he's also injured, and he's kind of gone through some injuries already in his career.
Right.
So, is he going to be able to survive the season? We'll see.
Let's see. Every season says he had to take CMC because he was the last pick. It's still not a bad pick. It's still not a bad pick
at all.
Cool. That was like I said, that was like a little fun slice of life type deal because I know a lot of people play fantasy. We don't necessarily do a lot of fantasy talk on here. Every time we've tried, it is like, boo, anymore. So we don't do much on the fantasy front. But like I said, we are in a creators league, content creators. So I may have to give y'all a weekly update on how team pound for pound fare.
Yeah. We're definitely going to have a section starting next week with like, how did our fantasy football team do?
Right.
And what are, you know, what kind of changes do we think we need to make? That kind of stuff.
Right. MJ's got the best pick of all. Big Low with the easy, easy pick. Big Low. How can we forget? Big Low. All right. Oh, man. That was a good show, guys. I appreciate y'all being here for it. I appreciate y'all being in the chat for it.
I'm just glad everybody's willing to listen to us. Hell yeah, we're on for an hour and 15 minutes.
There it is. like I said, we will have the defensive side to correspond with the video last week. That'll be out on either Friday or Saturday, depending. And we'll be back live on Tuesday, hopefully talking about a win, talking about a dominant performance. That's what we're wanting. That's what we're hoping for.
Yes, that is exactly what we're wanting.
As always, y'all can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Grim1128, GRIMM1128. Jonathan?
At Jonathan M. Holder. Come by and say hi.
Toby D.
Toby D. 1991, baby.
That's right. Always like hit that bell, like, subscribe, share. You know, if you want merch, it's in the bio. Either way, yeah, we just, man, we're so glad y'all are here.
That's all. You know, I have so much fun coming in here, chatting up with you guys, getting it going with the chat. This is like one of the highlights of my week.
It really is. It really is. All right. Anyway, we could sap on another day. I'll take care. As always, Falcons fans, rise up.
Rise up.
Rise up.